Hello, everyone. I'm Henry Bulmer, and this is Hawk Talk, a student podcast on the Q Media Podcast Network. We are in Studio Q at North Campus today on February 25th. Today, I'm joined with Jake Vitale, who is my co-host.
Hey, how you doing, Henry?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And let's get started. So this week in Q Hawk Sports, the men's basketball played two games. Their first game was against McKendree, where they lost 62-76. But in a big way, they bounced back on Saturday with a 82-75 win on the 75th anniversary of Pepsi Arena. That game was highlighted by Max Brewer with 23 points and Cameron Kincaid with 16, combining for 39 points with the two. And then over to the women's side, they caught a dub against McKendree, 88-76, Nicole McDermott and Samira Williams with a headline with 19 points and 17. But then on the 75th anniversary of Pepsi, they took a loss to Maryville, 86-94. The two teams have two more games heading into the regular season where they will play at Lewis and end at home against Indy.
Max Brewer on the men's side has been really great this year. He was someone that whenever I did a podcast last semester about the basketball team, he was not on our radar. We looked more at like the transfer students and figured that those guys would be taking on a bigger role. But Brewer has, the kid can shoot lights out. I was doing a game working on the production truck, doing the scoreboard for the live stream and stuff. And he comes out of the gate and he hits six straight threes. So that's been a nice surprise. And he's really been a hot spot or a bright spot in like, you know, the men's basketball year hasn't been the greatest compared to, obviously, like the women's, who have been just absolutely amazing this year. But he's been a bright spot in the Hawks offense there.
Yeah, I know they're missing but I know a few guys graduated, especially Zion last year. I know he was their star player, so it's good to they found another key piece that can help in the following years.
Yeah, and he's a freshman, so hopefully, you know, how crazy college sports is nowadays with the transfer portal and stuff, you never know what can happen, but hopefully he sticks around for a few years and we can have a good shooter on our side.
Most definitely.
So, others in this week, Quincy's new program, the Stunt program, had their first competition on the morning of Saturday, February 15th. And they had four matches there, but it didn't really go as great as they wanted. They dropped all four matches to two opponents who had, you know, multiple years in a stunt program. So being for their first competition, they did come out and they scored in their first match. They dropped the point in their first routine, but they gained the first program point during the third quarter. I'm a little confused about how the stunt scoring works. I don't know how they do it by quarters. Maybe I'll have to go out and watch one just to, like, learn about it. I was looking up a little bit, just a little bit of background before we did this podcast. And, scoring in quarters, I think what I looked up is that there's quarters one that's, like, partner stunts. Quarter two is pyramids and tosses. Quarter three is jumps and tumbling, and then quarter four is a full team routine. That's what I got, but I'm a little confused on that. But later on in that four-game set that they had, they faced Lewis, which is the first time they had a GLVC matchup this year, and they lost 4-1, which is better than they did against the three other opponents that they faced that weekend. So hopefully they can come back, and they return for more action in middle of the March, and they'll be facing Maryville along with Missouri Valley and Central Methodist. So hopefully they can come out and get a little bit more practice in now that they have a match under their belt and really learned how it works, because it's a new program, and hopefully we can have a program that is successful in that.
Yeah. Seems very interesting. I mean, I know they lost their first four, but, I mean, now their feet's wet and, can build off that. And maybe we'll have to go check out a match or game, whatever. I don't know what you call it. But
I don't know. I am really interested in the quarter scoring, so I actually will probably go out and check one out just to see how they score these things.
Yeah, like maybe it's, I don't know, you get a point per quarter. Whoever wins the quarter gets the point.
But some of these scores were like 12-1, and then another one was 4-1. So, like, if it was a point per quarter, I just got to figure out how this thing works.
I'd have to check it out, see how it goes down.
Yeah, but either way, you know, the weekend didn't go how they wanted, but congrats to Stunt for, you know, getting their feet wet and
getting out there,
launching a new program in Quincy history. So what else you got for us this week?
I got baseball. I know you play baseball, Jake, and I know it was a little bit of a rough go going down south, but it seemed like the team battled in every game. They didn't give up, and even in the games they lost, they were still fighting till the end.
Yeah. You know, there was a kind of a thing going around the team that we did a lot of good things, but then we would follow them up with bad things, basically. It would be like, you know, we did a great job at being able to produce runs on the offensive side. And then whenever like a long inning would start to happen on the defensive side, we would just, you know, we'd get a little lazy on that side of the ball. And then, you know, that doesn't help our pitcher that is out there trying to, you know, get out of that long inning as well. So I feel like we did a really great job on a lot of the smaller parts of the game. And I feel like we were doing a great job at being good teammates to each other. No matter what happens, everybody is, you know, picking each other up, having each other's back. So I really like how our team is working in that direction. So I feel that our record doesn't exactly show, you know, the talent and ability that we have on this team this year.
Sounds good. Sounds like you're going in the right direction, even though slow start.
Yeah. I mean, we did, you know, we took down the number one team in the country in their home field, which was pretty cool. Only team in the country to do that so far this year. And, I mean, that really, like, I think that really showed a lot of people that we can play with anybody in the country, which we always believed. Like, we went down there and we were expecting to take two, not just one. So, we truly can play with anybody in the country. It's just whenever we start to get this team merging together and really all rolling on all cylinders, I think we'll be a really scary team to play. But, you know, it's still, we're down here playing ball in February, and got to think that it doesn't all really matter until it's May. Whenever we get to May and, you know, we get a little bit more experience under our belt. I mean, we have a lot of, like, younger guys that are, you know, playing. Like Isaiah Fudge, he played quite a few games at second base this week. You know, he's a redshirt freshman. We have, you know, even, like, transfers, you know, it's their first time playing NCAA ball, like Matt Mateo or Carson Moreno. And, you know, I'm kind of an old guy out there on the field being a four-year senior. So we got young guys, and we got a lot of guys that haven't played together very much. So, I feel like we have a great, chemistry on and off the field that, I really think will be a scary team to face whenever it's tournament time.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I know we're talking about baseball, but I know, you were looking into the softball games that happened a few days ago.
I was looking over, you know, the sports calendar, and I was checking through the softball team, and, you know, they have not had a good start to their season. They are currently sitting at 0-10. But I was looking at this match that they played on the 23rd against Tiffin University. I was looking it over, and I saw one of the craziest box scores that I have ever seen. Quincy gave up 19 runs in this game, and I saw whenever Alexis Freeman, the pitcher, came in after Cadence Dumas, she pitched 2.2 innings, gave up 9 hits, gave up 17 runs, but only 4 of those runs were earned.
That is crazy.
I have never seen 13 unearned runs especially in 2.2 innings.
Yeah, the no offense, but the defense must have kind of been on their heels that inning.
Right? That's those long innings we were talking about. Yeah.
I mean, softball or baseball, I mean, doesn't matter what the situation is, you got to stay alive out there. You can't be on your heels or balls are going to eat you up and those are going to turn into a bunch of runs.
Yeah, there is a saying in baseball that the ball will find you, and I'm sure it's the same in softball. I'm sure there was a couple of compounding mistakes there, but I did just want to point that out, you know, not as like a shot at anybody or anything, but that is a stat line that I am not sure I will ever see again. I know I will not see that in baseball because, you know, pitchers' arms in baseball would not be able to
withstand that much.
Withstand that many pitches. Softball's a little bit different. You know, they can, you know, they got that more natural underhand throwing motion. They can throw all day.
Throw 100 pitches and then go throw another 100 the next day. You know, I throw, when I used to play, I throw 30 and mine's hanging.
Absolutely. So, staying on the topic of baseball and softball, you know, baseball got sent a sheet out since we're going to be starting our 12-game home stretch here to choose our walkout songs. So today, whenever me and Henry were in class, we had the bright idea of thinking about what are some of the best walk-up songs of all time? I'll let my host, Henry Ballmer, start.
Oh, well, for starters, I bet you have it on there. We're both from St. Louis. Ryan Helsley's Hell's Bells from the Cardinals. I mean, it's just like I've been there for it in person. The lights shut out. Everything turns red, and he just runs out there. And, I mean, it's kind of a guaranteed win when he runs out there with those red lights. I mean, it's just kind of electric. I mean, I don't know what – your heart gets bumping, and I feel like I'm out there on the mound when that's – when that happens.
Yeah. Do you know who another closer, one of the best of all time, also walked out to Hell's Bells?
Was it Gagne?
No.
Oh, it wasn't Gagne. No, it was Trevor Hoffman.
Trevor Hoffman. There you go. Yeah, Trevor Hoffman had the original, but maybe not the original, but, you know, he's one of the made best of all time, and he made it really iconic. And, you know, I kind of thought Ryan Helsley's was like a little corny whenever I had not seen it in person. I would see it on TV and the lights turn red and I was like, that's Trevor Hoffman's walkout. And then I got to go watch a game in person. And whenever it all shuts out completely pitch black and then the whole stadium lights back up and it's red, it's really cool. And he was so dominant last year. I mean, I think he kind of paid his respects.
I'm happy the Cardinals kept him. I mean, I heard there were some talks they were going to trade him, but still a bird right now.
Yeah, the Cardinals just decided to make absolutely no moves at all.
Yeah. Might need to unretire Adam Wainwright so he can go throw 80 poo.
So a walk-up song that I have on the hitter side that I think is one of the best of all time is the, was it 2022 Phillies, Bryson Stott, whenever he would walk out to the song A-OK. And the whole stadium would be, you know, singing it. And then, okay.
And then he hits that grand slam and everything goes bonkers, bro. That was crazy.
One of the coolest baseball clips of all time includes that walk-up song. So as a hitter, of course, I had to mention that.
I got another closer. I mean, some may say he's the best of all time. I got Mariano Rivera's Enter Sandman. I mean, like, it's just iconic. Everybody... You see a lot of pitchers nowadays, like from high school to college or even Little League, they want that song because he was just so dominant. When that song played, he came in that game, everybody kind of knew, like,
it's over.
It's lights out.
Yeah, it's over. No, yeah, like, iconic song, iconic pitcher, and just being so dominant, that's, I mean, if we had to rank these one through whatever, that's probably number one.
Yeah, not even, like, I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but, like, just off of who he was and, like, just the vibes of the song when he came out, like, it has to be one.
It has to be. I would totally agree. On the pitching side, one that was done last year by the Orioles closer, Felix Bautista. If you know anything about the TV show The Wire, which is set in Baltimore, If you know anything about the show, there was this character, Omar, and he was basically the most feared guy in the Baltimore neighborhood. And he would whistle as he would come out, and everybody would run away, and they would they'd hear him coming, and everybody would hear his whistle, and they would hear Omar's coming. And so Felix Bautista took that one over, and I actually just got done watching The Wire. So whenever I saw that, I had to include it because I thought that was really cool for him to do, you know, being a Baltimore Oriole inside Baltimore. And the fans and the crowd seems to love it. I mean, every time I tried to look up a clip for it, you couldn't even hear the whistling over the crowd cheering.
Yeah, you showed me that. That was pretty cool. I mean, I've never seen it before, but, I mean, probably gets people pumped up.
Oh, yeah. Baltimore natives, you know, they love their they love anything from Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, Old Bay and The Wire.
Old Bay. Oh, all right. Well, I might just throw two closers out there. I got Edwin Diaz's Narcos by Timmy Trumpets. I mean, that just came on a few years ago, but, like, I don't know about it. Something about the like that. I mean, that just kind of fires me up. And then have to go a little old school and a little fictional with the Wild Thing from Major League.
Yeah.
I mean, that those scenes when he comes out of the bullpen, just hearing the crowd screaming Wild Thing. I mean, it's one of my favorite baseball movies of all time. It's just a great one.
That is my favorite baseball movie of all time. And if you disagree, you can argue with a wall that Major League is the best baseball movie of all time.
I thought yours was the one with Jessica Biel.
Oh, yeah. I remember saying that, but no, that was just for social media. What was that? It's a summer ball.
Summer Catch or something?
Yeah, Summer Catch. Yes, that is a good movie, but no, that was just for social media.
and good, then, but not for the same reasons.
No, not for the same reason. Major League is the best movie of all time. What's it? I have one last one, and it was just debuted during the 2024 season. The Mets second baseman, Jose Iglesias, actually retired, and he retired previously, and he turned into a Latin pop singer, and he made this song called OMG, and later he was re-signed by the Mets, played great, and they called him up to the majors, and he used his own song as his walkout, and the Mets went on a super hot streak, and there's even one time he performed it on the field with all his teammates for the entire stadium.
Wow.
And I just think that's pretty sick.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I've never heard of a guy making his own walk-up song and then, you know, coming back
and balling out. And yeah. Leading his team to the playoffs, essentially.
And speaking of own walk-up songs, I have one last one, and he also plays for the Mets. Juan Soto's new one that just, like, came out during the playoff run, he was with the Yankees, the Soto Shuffle. I don't remember the artist's name, but the artist made the song specifically about Soto. And, I mean, the Soto Shuffle, when he takes a ball, is kind of iconic for the player he is, and I don't know, I just think it's a pretty cool song to have a song after you, and then you get to listen to it while you're going up to hit.
I need somebody to make a song for me this year. Preview of what my walk-up song is, it's Money for Nothing by Dire Straits. It's good. I think it's a cool walk-up song. I think it's personally the best on the team, so everybody should come out and cheer for me during my walk-out song.
That's all you got to be there for. You don't have to watch baseball. Just go listen to Jake's walk-up song, and then you can leave.
But, I mean, you might as well stay since you already paid the $5 for admission and come support the Hawks and, you know, not to give people any ideas, but technically – the party porch in right field is not university property, and you can bring your own coolers with whatever food or beverages you would like, and you get to, you know, maybe
get a little
rowdy. Right fielder on the other side and get a little rowdy on that porch.
Cheer on your Hawks.
Oh, yeah. I think that's really all we got.
Well, one last thing, speaking of that, the baseball team is playing this weekend, four-game series against the Colorado School of Mines. So, like Jake said, go hit that party porch and get rowdy for your Hawks this weekend.
It's going to be 60 and sunny on Friday. So
sounds great weather for baseball.
Great weather.
In February.
Great weather to be on that party porch.
Is that all we got?
That's all I have.
All right. Well, thank you to my guest and co-host, Jake Vitale. And thank you for listening to the Hawk Talk Podcast. I'm Henry Ballmer, and this has been a production of the QU Media Podcast Network.